For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
I was 18 when I left home. Now, I know these days that might seem a little young, but we lived in a place called Bowral, which is in the Southern Highlands. And I was determined that I was going to study arts at Sydney University. So it was either spend 4 hours on the train each day, which I didn't really want to do, or move to Sydney. So I bit the bullet and I moved to Sydney. Now, the first 6 months of my time in Sydney were horrendous. They were some of the worst in my life. I was so homesick that I spent most nights crying myself to sleep. I was miserable. I was sick. And I was so stressed that my hair started falling out, which was the scariest thing, mind you. Can't lose your hair. And because you see, for me, it was the biggest transition I'd ever had to make in my entire life. We were quite a close-knit family. I don't think I really realised it until later. But for me, moving from the dependence and security of my parents to living on my own was enormous. I had to go from being dependent and secure on them to being independent, having to wash my own clothes, pay my bills. It was a huge transition. And you see, as Christians, we have made a huge transition. We were once in the spiritual realm of darkness, but now we have been brought into the spiritual realm of light. So that's what I'm going to be talking about this morning. Come with me to the passage. It's written on the outline there. Ephesians 5, 8 to 20. Now you see what it's saying there in sentence 8. We were once darkness, but now we are light. So how has this miraculous transition occurred? Through faith in Christ, who loved us and gave himself up for us, as we can see in sentence 2 and as we heard from Jen. See, when we were in darkness, we rejected God's will and didn't live in a way that was pleasing to him. See some of the things mentioned there in 3 to 6 that Jen elaborated on: sexual immorality, greed, obscenity, foolish talk, coarse joking. They were the things we used to do when we were in darkness. But now we are in light. Now that doesn't mean we don't still struggle with sin anymore. Because I think everyone knows here that we do. We still have a sinful nature. But what it does mean is that we're not enslaved by it anymore. It doesn't have the same kind of power over us. so we don't have to be defeated by it anymore. Oh, have you ever heard people say this? You know, I'm just an impatient person. That's just what I am. Yeah, I get really irritable. Yeah, it's just me. Yeah, really bad habit of gossiping. Yeah, I want to change that. And you just don't. You know, we don't have to be like that anymore. God gives us power to resist sin in our lives because now we are in his realm. He is our king. And with his strength, it means we can turn away from the things that ensnare us. Now, do you see what it says there in sentence 10? Find out what pleases the Lord. That is what we are to do. So what does it look like to please our new king, this Lord of light? Well, it means to produce fruit in keeping with his will. Now, I'm not much of a gardener. I've managed to kill 2 cacti in my life, which says a lot about my lack of a green thumb. But at the moment, I have a basil plant, an African, and an African violet sitting on my kitchen windowsill, thanks to Jen. And the only reason they've survived up until now is because I've realised they need 2 things, and that's light and water. Because you see, with light, they grow, funnily enough. And that's what it's like with us. When God's light shines in our hearts through his word, by his Holy Spirit, we are able to bear fruit. We grow as Christians. Now, what is this fruit? Well, come with me to sentence 9. See what it says? Goodness, righteousness, and truth. To be good is to be morally upright, to be full of good deeds, good towards God and good towards others. It means the needs of others come before your own. Righteousness is both a right standing before God, forgiven through Christ, not guilty, but also right living, morally upright. And truth here, again, is used to refer to uprightness of character, dependability, honesty. We're the kind of people who you can always rely on, or we should be. We don't tell those little white lies even when we're tempted to, or fudge our tax return. We are to be people of integrity and honesty. So while the fruit of the Lord, light, produces fruit, the darkness is fruitless. It's unproductive and doesn't please the Lord. See in sentence 11? It seems that the light of the Lord reveals dark deeds for what they are. Because you see, God's light works to illuminate sin. It shows it up for what it is. God's light shines through us when we are living according to his word. By our good lives, we expose the evil in those around us. Because you see, the darkness covers over dark deeds. It hides them. But the light exposes them. Now, this is the case with most crime that is committed in the world, isn't it? Most crime is committed at night. Jack the Ripper only ever came out at night. And in the 80s, there was a serial killer in America called Richard Ramirez, and he was dubbed the Night Stalker because he only ever attacked under the cloak of darkness. University campuses throughout Australia have been on a crusade to improve lighting at night in an effort to fight crime. And the US Crime Prevention Council says that improved lighting is the single biggest deterrent to crime at night. I used to live in a place called Dubbo in the country, and it gets very hot there. And one summer night, it was particularly hot, and I was quite restless, and I don't think I slept very well. So at about 5 in the morning, I decided to go for a jog. Don't ask me why. Anyway, so I came back and I was doing some stretches beside our house at the time. Suddenly, while I was in the middle of doing my stretches, the light came on in the house and I heard this very stern voice say, "Please leave." And of course, I poked my head in and my flatmate and I burst out laughing when she realised I wasn't an intruder. Because you see, had I been doing that during the day, she wouldn't have even thought, you know, given it a second thought. But because it was at night, it scared her to death. She thought I was some kind of, you know, stranger. Because you see, the darkness covers over dark deeds. But we have to be very careful that we don't relish in the deeds that the light exposes. See in sentence 12. Why do you think it's shameful to mention what the disobedient do in secret? Well, because I think we all know there's that self-righteous part of us that loves to gloat and feel very smug when we know what someone else is up to. And it's very tempting, isn't it, to talk to someone else about it. Isn't that how gossip starts? Did you hear what so-and-so got up to? I'd never do that. We aren't to sit in judgment on those around us. Because we are all sinners. We must do all that we can with God's help to help lead each other out of sin so that we can live lives that are pleasing to our Lord. Because as children of the light, we have the power to expose the deeds of darkness. Our lives are illumined by the Holy Spirit, and we are the means of introducing that light into the dark areas of human conduct. We are to be wise in the way that we live. So what does it mean to be wise? Well, I think that means a lot of things, but in the context of this passage, it means to make the most of every opportunity. See in sentence 16. What opportunity are we to make the most of? To be light in the world and in the lives of those around us. We must stand out as God's people. We are to make every effort to turn away from sin. Now, a great way to do this is to have an accountability partner or someone you meet up regularly to pray with. Now, we don't do this very often, but I think it's a great thing to share your struggles with another person. Get them to pray for you. If you're struggling with something and you just feel trapped by it, I don't know how I'm ever going to break this habit, and you just give up, then get someone else to help you, to pray for you, to pray with you. Don't ever think there's some kind of sin in your life that you will just never be able to stop doing. We aren't to think like that because God has given us power to resist it. Over the last nearly two years that I've been a part of this church, something I have been so encouraged by is the amount of women who meet up during the week and at other times to simply pray together or read the Bible. I haven't seen it anywhere else happen as much as here. And it has been so encouraging. So if that's something that you are doing, good on you. Because it's one of the most powerful weapons that we have to help us resist sin and fight against its deceitfulness. Because as people of the light, we are to help each other do the Lord's will. And what is the Lord's will? Well, it's that we be filled with the Spirit, not filled with wine. This means to bear the fruit of the Spirit in our lives: self-control, praise, and thankfulness. See there in sentences 18 and 19. Now, we can't be doing these things if alcohol controls us. Rather, the Spirit must control us. Now, there's nothing wrong with having a few drinks with your work colleagues. on a Friday night. I think that's a great thing to do. And there's nothing wrong with going over to a friend's place and having a few glasses of wine with dinner. But what if it becomes a little too many? What if you can't remember what you said or did the night before? It should never get that far. When I first moved to Dubbo, I got a job at a commercial radio station there. And they love drinking in the country. That's one of their favourite pastimes. So it didn't take them long to figure out where I stood on drunkenness. Not alcohol, didn't mind alcohol, but drunkenness. So one of the guys at work made it his mission to get me drunk before I left. And why? Because we are so countercultural in this. Isn't that what you do on a Friday and Saturday night? It's not something we need to be ashamed of. It is a great opportunity to be a light for God in this area. Because people will want to know, why aren't you drinking so like the rest of us? It's a great witness. So we had to exercise self-control. What we are to do is to allow God's Holy Spirit to control us. So how do we do this? Well, we know from Ephesians chapter 6, 17, that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. So we must immerse ourselves in the Word of God. As I was saying before, meeting up with other women, praying together, reading the Bible, it's a great thing to do if you find reading the Bible on your own something you find difficult and you struggle with. But if you find that you're just too busy to spend any time in God's Word, then you are too busy. We are God's people, and we are to be God's light in this world. And as we heard from Jen, we live in a culture that bombards us with lies all the time. We are bombarded by them. But if we don't know the truth, how are we going to discern the lies? But if we are steeped in God's Word, if we know it, and if it is in our hearts, then we will be on guard all the time to the things the world will try and throw at us. Another great way to encourage each other with the Word of God is to sing in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Now, that doesn't mean we all go around like the Sound of Music, you know, singing to each other. That'd be a bit amusing. And a bit awful, probably, especially if I was singing. But the words of God must be on our lips. So when we're in conversation with people, what a great thing to do if someone's struggling with something. Oh, there's a great verse in the Bible. This will, you know, this could be really helpful for you at the moment. Well, let me pray with you. There are some great Bible verses that I can think of that would really encourage you at this time. We are to be reminding each other of the truths that our faith is based on and the promises that God has made to us. Singing is another great way to do this. Now, I love singing. I'm not much of a singer, but I like it. But I know that it's a great opportunity for me to encourage the people around me. But also, when I sing those songs, the words sit in my heart and I remember them. And so during the week, I can sing them to myself. I don't do that very often. I'm trying to get into the habit of it because I don't know about you, but I know that when I pray to God, I spend way too much time asking for things than just taking time out to praise Him and thank Him. And if we have those songs in our hearts and we have the words of Scripture in our hearts, it'll be so much easier to do that. Because we are to be people who overflow with praise and thanksgiving to our Lord of Light. See in sentence 19? We are to meditate on God's goodness as often as we can so that our praise to Him overflows in our prayers and in our words to each other. We can be praising God to each other. I'm so thankful to God for this last week, or do-do-do. Or God has been so good to me. He's done this, do-do-do-do. You know, we can be talking like that to each other, praising God to each other. We have so much to thank and praise God for, particularly in this country. But we forget that so quickly, don't we? It's so easy to focus on what we don't have rather than all the things that we do. But I'm sure there are some of you here today who may feel completely overwhelmed by trouble and difficulties, and you may not be able to think of much to praise and thank God for. But if that's you now, then remember that He has rescued you from darkness, and He has brought you into His wonderful light. And that means that we have the great hope of heaven, and that any of the worries that we struggle with in this life are only fleeting. They cannot last forever. Surely that's something. You see, as children of light, we have been rescued from darkness. It doesn't have power over us anymore. God has given us power to live as lights for Him. Now, if we are the kind of people who live lives that are pleasing to God, then we will be great witnesses to the people around us. We will be walking ambassadors for Christ. People will want to know who this Jesus is that you serve, and they will want to serve Him too. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That's the kind of people we want to be, isn't it? When they look at us, they want to know who this Jesus is. They don't want to look at us and think, oh, you're just like me. We've got to be different. So we have to be bold about our faith and bold about living the visible life. Now, when I left home about 10 years ago now, I made a huge transition from dependence to independence. And it was so painful at the time. But now I couldn't imagine going back and living with my parents. That's what it's got to be like with us. We have been rescued from darkness. We don't even want to think about going back there. It is so far behind us. So I encourage you to live as women of the light. Please pray with me. Yes, bow your heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise and adore You for who You are, for Your wondrous grace that rescued us when we were lost in darkness and brought us into Your wonderful light. Thank You for opening our eyes to the sin in our lives. Please help us to turn away from it with Your strength, to be wise in this world, to be godly women who do not get drunk on wine but are filled with Your Spirit. Help us to continue to encourage each other in our walks with You so that we may sing Your praises every day that we're on this earth as You look forward to our lives in eternity with You. In Jesus' name, amen.